Friday, December 30th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. We return to our Friday feature, Ask the Pastor. Harry, today we have a question related to 2023. As every new year comes around, many people decide to make New Year's resolutions. Harry, our question relates to that. How should the Christian put together New Year's resolutions?
Or maybe the question is, should Christians put together New Year resolutions? There is one school of thought within Christianity is, oh, that's just a secular humanist thing. You're going to better yourself. And therefore, that needs to be set aside. Well, let me just say, if a Christian enters in to a New Year resolution process on the notion that of self-reliance, I agree with you. It is a futile exercise. We don't better ourselves. We need the work of God's grace to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. But to take a calendar marker like a new year is not unbiblical. If you'll go back to the Old Testament, you will see that much of the festivities and the focus and the call of diligence to the people of God was built around the calendar year, even the new year concept. So there's nothing wrong with self-examination and analysis of where do I need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. I always take the week between Christmas and January to spend time prayerfully. Where were the weak spots? Where were the failures? And were there any sinful activities in my life that I need to focus upon? Not in self-improvement, but by God's grace to mortify sin and to grow in grace? Are there areas of my life that I could grow in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with men? And that's exactly the motif I use every year. The Bible tells us in Luke 2:52, the only perfect case of personal formation. Jesus grew in wisdom, in stature, in favor with God, and favor with men. In other words, wisdom. He developed his intellectual grasp of life with application in life, that's wisdom, in stature, physically, and then in favor with God, spiritually, and then in favor with man. Jesus, with a true human soul and a true human body, grew in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with man. Our intellectual for life practices, physical, spiritual, and social. And those are the four categories that I look within my life. And as long as God's given me breath, I want every year to be one of growth in some sense. So I will outline, here's some books I need to read. Here are some ways that I need to work on my gifts, my spiritual gifts, my ministry, physically, what I need to do. Paul says he buffeted his body in order to make it available as an instrument for ministry. And then what about my spiritual disciplines, my time alone with God, my family devotions, my marital devotions? How can I grow in the spiritual disciplines of prayer and the Word? And then finally, how can I grow socially? Where are some areas where I can improve my biblical skills of interaction with others? How can I build relationships with people that are lost? How can I respond to those who are hurting? How can I encourage those who are growing? So I have found that to be very profitable. Now, does that mean you can't do self-examination at any time of the year? Of course not. Every time you come to the Lord's Supper, you're supposed to examine yourself. But you see, I don't see this as an act of self-improvement upon self-reliance. I look at Jonathan Edwards, his resolutions, or as they would say back then, his resolves. I look at John Adams, his resolves. I look at the great men of God who would take moments of reflection. How am I doing? Give praise to God. And how can I build and fan the gift that God has given to me into a flame? What about my relationship with my spouse? What about my relationships with my children? How can I take this to the next level on the trajectory of growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ? Tom, if you listen to the vows of the church, whether it's an ordination vow or a membership vow or a baptismal vow, you will always hear this language. In humble reliance upon divine grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, I will endeavor. So Paul says, work out what God's working in. So here you're made in the image of God. You plan your life for Christ. Christ becomes your plan. Then you live the plan by Christ, for Christ, through the strength that he supplies in his Holy Spirit. It's not self-reliance. It is the presentation of oneself. And you are now free to examine your life. And where there's sin, you can confess it and walk away from it. How can I go to the next level? I know perfection awaits eternity. But how can I present myself through the means of grace to being perfected for eternity, growing not for grace, but growing in grace and by the power of the Holy Spirit?
Harry, you just mentioned something out of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Let me read it, and could you dig a little deeper? Paul says in Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling."
Notice what he is saying there and what he's not saying. He doesn't say work for salvation. In fact, salvation is something you already have. He says it's something that you have inherited. It belongs to you. Jesus, his saving work, has now been brought into your life. Now, what I am doing in your life, I have saved you from your sins, I've given you relationships, I've given you responsibilities, I've given you gifts. Now, I want you to go to work on it. I want you to go to work with them. That's what I want you to do. That's a great call to stewardship. Not working for salvation, but to working out the salvation that he works in you. So you can't work out unless he works in. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. By the way, that's worship language. Life is worship. So there is this reverential fear of God in how you live your life to the praise of God. So work it out with fear and trembling. Make life an act of worship. How and why can you do this? Because he is at work within you, out of his sovereign power and appointment. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Paul says the same thing in a different way in Ephesians 2. For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. That word really means masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. So we have no works coming to the cross, but the work of Christ is our only hope. Once Christ's work has been placed on you and in you, you are now a steward to work out what he has put into your life. And I believe that's what this time of year presents, is an opportunity to focus on our lives, our responsibilities, our relationships, and the entanglements that we need to put away, work on the areas that he has convicted us of, and walk toward Christ with a surer step following the light of the Word. And my responsibilities as a man, as a husband, as a father, a grandfather, a citizen, and in the area of my relationships, all of that can be done in a prayerful, focused evaluation and reflection in anticipation of our life becoming a clearer statement of worship to the praise of God's glory and grace.
If you have a question for Pastor Harry Reeder, write to us at askthepastor@briarwood.org. Questions related to what do the Scriptures mean and questions related to the issues of life and how the Scriptures address those issues. Again, write askthepastor@briarwood.org. We look forward to receiving and answering your question. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father this Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application, as we put the issues of today in perspective.